Mix is on.
Give me a signal from Jerry that it's time to go.
Good afternoon. We'll call the budget section to order. We'll have council take the roll.
Chairman Ballou, Representatives Bowe, Boehning, Brabant, Brandenburg, Carlson, Delmore, Delzer, Hogan, Holman, Kading, Kempnick, Kreit, Martinson, Meyer, Mock, Munson, Nathie, Nelson, Pollard, Sanford, Schatz, Schmidt, Striley, Vigasa. Vice Chairman Herbley.
Here.
Senators Bowman, Deber, Grabinger, Heckman, Hoag, Holmberg, Kilzer, Klein, Krebsbach, Lee, Mathern, Elke, Robinson, Sorvag, Wanzik, and Wardner. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Levi. Okay, we'll continue on with the presentations by Legislative Council. Alan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the budget section. For the record, Alan Knudsen with the Legislative Council staff. We have a number of after-session reports that we've distributed to your spot, or it should be with your name tag up here, or nameplate up here if you haven't gotten it. I'll be going through a few of them, and then Levi will be also going through a few at the end here. The first one I'd like to go over is the supplementary rules of operation of the legislative management. The rules are similar to in past interims, but we do review these at the first meeting of each interim committee. Just to touch on a couple, under number two, conduct of meetings, attendance can be by interactive video. However, it does need to be approved in advance by the legislative management chairman, and those interactive or teleconference meetings should be limited. Every member who is present must vote. Meetings are electronically recorded. We do encourage the presenters to submit their presentations electronically, and we do attach those to the agendas in advance of the meeting, so you can view them on your computer or iPad if you'd like. And with that, those are the only items that I was going to touch on, unless there are any questions.
Any questions? Continue.
Okay, and then, Mr. Chairman, you do have some green-colored reports that we've distributed. These are our typical after-session reports. The small, thin one is the final budget status report as of the end of session. And I won't go into detail on that. It just shows the details on revenues and and appropriations, the beginning and ending balance. And as you recall, we did end the session with an estimated $50 million ending general fund balance for June of 2019. The next book is the medium-sized one. And this is a compilation of all of the statements of purpose of amendment. They're listed by bill number for each appropriation bill. And it lists the first house action, the second house action, and then if the bill did go to conference committee, the conference committee action, and compares that to the base level for each agency. So that's that report. And then the largest report is our state budget actions report. This is the one that has an executive summary at the front that hits the highlights for the 2017-19 budget, the major items. There are tabs for each of the various sections. We have sections on revenues, appropriations, elementary and secondary education, higher ed, human services, other agencies, capital construction. A list of all the trust funds are included at the back of the book. Detail on those. And again, this is for your information, especially the executive summary is hopefully helpful if you need some high-level information for giving reports and presentations, things like that. All of these reports are also on the legislative branch website. They're linked on the agenda for the budget section as well, so feel free to take the reports if you'd like the paper copy. If you don't, it's fine to leave them here as well. We'll have them available for the future as well. That's those reports, and then I'll have Levi come up and talk about the last three items under this section, unless there are any questions on any of the reports.
Any questions for Alan?
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the budget section, for the record, my name is Levi Kinshitsky, fiscal analyst for the Legislative Council. In the packet of information that you should receive, you should have a large 7x11 document that has some orange and blue colors on it. The number in the top left corner should be 17.9736.0100, and it's titled Estimated Revenue Sources and Distributions for Major State Funds for the 2017-19 Biennium. This is a flowchart that we prepare every biennium. Many of you are already familiar with it. It's now been updated for actions taken by the 65th Legislative Assembly. There are a few items that have changed. I'll just touch on a couple very at a high level. As a brief introduction, again, the main structure of the flowchart has stayed similar. Up in the top left corner, you'll see there's a lot of the Department of Transportation items. On the far right column, you'll see a listing of all of the major revenue sources and how they are distributed into the general fund, and again, various major state funds and how they're allocated to different agencies, et cetera, et cetera. One major item to note, due to additional transfers that were authorized by the 2017 Legislative Assembly and other items that needed to be accounted for, we did consolidate the oil revenues in this flowchart. Previously, previous versions had gross production tax and oil extraction tax separated and then shown as going into each of the respective funds. For readability and clarity reasons, we have now combined that, so you'll see in towards the middle of the page there's an orange bubble that says oil and gas tax collections. That now contains both gross production tax and oil extraction tax. A couple of other new items to note, just below that bubble, there's a blue one that says Energy Impact Fund. That's a new fund that was just created this last session. We'll be receiving $4 million for oil revenues. Right below that, there's another new fund called the Social Services Finance Fund, which was approved in Section 8 of Senate Bill 2206. That will be receiving $134 million from the Tax Relief Fund, which will then be transferred to the Department of Human Services, which can be seen from the arrow going to the far left, bottom left-hand corner of the document. Other major items that have changed, you'll note that the Tobacco Prevention and Control Trust Fund, which is the bottom left blue bubble there, that is now going to the Department of Human Services and the Department of Health as opposed to the Tobacco Prevention and Control Committee. At a high level, that's that's the new flow chart. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at this time.
Any questions for Levi? Continue.
All right, well, moving on, the next sheet that's on our agenda, again, the other large colored sheet, that's a flow chart. The number on the upper left-hand corner is 19.9004.0100. This one is titled the Oil and Gas Tax Revenue Allocation Flow Chart. This particular flow chart will provide information in a more detailed manner regarding oil revenues. And you'll note at the very top of this flow chart, The top box that says collected by the tax department, you'll note that that dollar amount directly ties to that same bubble I referenced in the previous document. So if you're looking for a little bit more detailed breakdown of oil revenues, you can reference this flow chart. Again, just at a very high level, you'll see that this flow chart is broken out. On the left side, the oil and gas gross production tax. On the right side, oil extraction tax. Gross production tax will hit all the hub cities, and other political subdivisions. Again, I mentioned that the Energy Impact Fund was a new item that was added during this last session. And again, oil extraction tax on the right side. And then in the middle, you'll note that there is both revenue sources will hit the tribal share, legacy fund, and then distributed by formula. A couple of new items, just as a reminder, that were approved during this last session. The general fund will now be receiving a total of $400 million, as opposed to $300 million that was approved in previous bienniums. Budget Stabilization Fund will now be receiving $75 million. And you'll also note, if you flip the page, footnotes are attached that describe each one of the numbered boxes on the front page. And within each of those boxes, note that text that's in bold does reference recent actions taken by the 2017 Legislative Assembly. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer those as well.
Any questions? Continue.
The last documents I'll go through is the budget section duties and responsibilities for the 2017-19 biennium. In the top left corner, if you're looking for the right document, it's number 19.9018.01000. This document summarizes all of the duties that the budget section will address during this interim. It's broken out and categorized into continuing duties and into new duties just authorized during this last legislative session. The continuing duties are all mostly the same. You'll note that number four, there were a few changes, the higher education campus improvements and building maintenance. Previously, the dollar threshold for campus improvements and building maintenance was $385,000. It is now $700,000. Previously, the budget section was authorized to give approval for any building or addition to an existing building over that cost. That has now changed and now must be approved by the entire Legislative Assembly. Flipping through a few pages, going to page four, you'll note that there's additional continuing duties, but these are duties that are conditional based off of situational based off each duty. Those are duties that were not acted on during the previous biennium, but they are duties that may need to be addressed this coming interim if necessary. Page six starts the new duties that were just approved during this last session. A couple of them just to point out that may be of interest. Number 62, Bank of North Dakota loans. This is a requirement for the budget section to approve any loans that may be obtained by the Bank of North Dakota for cash flow purposes if the general fund balance is insufficient to meet legislative appropriations. Duty number 63, property tax increases, requires the tax commissioner to provide a report to the budget section April 1st of each of these 2 years of the biennium regarding any annual increase in property taxes levied by each taxing district. Duties 65 and 66 are related to the Red River Valley Water Supply Project and requires various reporting there. Duty 68 is related to the statewide interoperable radio network. Budget section approval must be obtained if the Information Technology Department is to receive a loan for that project. And on the last page, another one to note, duty number 70 requires that the State Board of Higher Education come to the budget section for any tuition increases larger than 4%. And if there are any other questions on the duties of the budget section for this interim, I'd be happy to answer those.
Any questions? I guess you've done a good job. Thank you, Levi. Moving on to the 120. item, presentations by the Office of Management and Budget. Would that be Pam? Okay. Afternoon.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Pam Sharp with the Office of Management and Budget. All of you should have a handout by now with a really pretty picture on the front of it. If you open to the first page, I'll highlight this very briefly, just some economic indicators. CPI for the last 12 months has been up 1.9% compared to a year ago. It's expected to change by 2.6% during 2016, and then average about 2.5% after that. Currently, money markets are 3-month Treasury bill is currently 0.7%. We expect the 3-month T-bill rate to increase to all of 0.8% by the end of 2017. Personal income, adjusted by $2,005, grew by 2.5% during 2016. Moody's expects that it will average 2% during 2017 and 2.3% in 2018 before gradually decreasing after that. Ag prices decreased by an average of 9.2% during 2016, the result of 2.3% reduction in crop prices and a 16.5% decrease in livestock prices. After a projected increase of 2.2% in 2017, the outlook provides for smaller increases of 1.5% in 2018. Locally in North Dakota, the unemployment rate in May was 2.7%, and that compares to 5.1% nationally. Nationally, employment growth from February 2016 to February 2017 was 1.6%. In North Dakota, that employment growth rate decreased by 0.7% during that same time period. Personal income grew in North Dakota between 15 and 16 by 0.2%, and the national average during that same period grew by 3.7%. There's a chart below for you to check out the ag prices. Energy-related information. The current rig count now is 56 rigs, which is 28 more than that number a year ago, and then the price, drilling, and activity are summarized below. Today, the price of the WTI price of oil, I just checked before I came down here, and it was $42.56. So it's not been really good lately for the price of oil. Our forecast for next biennium, I believe, is about $47 a barrel. So moving on to the next page, this is the status of the general fund. It's the same format that you've seen before. We start at the beginning with our beginning balance for the 15-17 biennium. Obligated and unobligated of $877 million. Revenues collected through May 31st were $3.9 billion. And according to our latest revenue forecast, which was done in March, we anticipate June collections to be $111.9 million. And that will get us to $4.9 billion for the biennium. The next section details the appropriations, the original one-time and ongoing appropriations, and then you will see all the adjustments that have been made to those appropriations throughout the biennium. I would just call to your attention the very last item in that section, the estimated unspent authority, which is $52 million, and that was the estimate made during the legislative session. The biggest chunk of that money coming from foundation aid school payments. So if we go through and look at our total authorized expenditures of 5.7 and back that off from the revenues that we have available, you'll see we're in the hole $797 million. After that, we're adding the entire amount of the budget stabilization fund that was added and authorized by the legislature. After that, we're still in the hole, $224 million. And then comes in the two transfers that were authorized by the legislature, the $100 million from the Bank of North Dakota and the $155 million transfer from the CIF fund that has already been made. And with all of those transfers, we anticipate ending the biennium at $30 million. Now, I will point out that $30 million is contingent on two things. It's contingent on us receiving this $111.9 billion that we have forecast for the month of June, and it's also contingent on turnback actually being at the $52 million. Indications are, and I have visited with the tax department, it looks like now that we'll most likely, it looks positive that we'll hit this $111 million mark. Sales tax appears to be coming in exactly as it has been expected to. Corporate income tax is already $6 million more than we had anticipated. I don't know what individual income tax is at this point, but we're thinking it looks very positive that we will hit this. And I'm fairly comfortable that we'll hit the $52 million too. I know agencies have been very careful about that. So everything kind of rests on the June revenues at this point. At the bottom of the page, there's a few selected special funds. The Budget Stabilization Fund has $6 million, which may seem unusual to you since we transferred the whole amount. We transferred the $572 because that's what the balance was in there, and that's what we were authorized to transfer. However, before that transfer was made, there were earnings of about $6 million. So there was no authority to transfer those earnings. They're still sitting in the Budget Stabilization Fund at this time. The Legacy Fund currently has a balance of about $4.5 billion. There's $611 million in the Foundation Aid Stabilization Fund, $300 million in the Tax Relief Fund, and about $468 million in the CIF Fund, although $350 million of that is already committed. So I'd be happy to take any questions on this page before moving on.
Any questions? Representative Crank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Pam, on the transfers, you're not showing the Legacy Fund, $200 million. Where does that show up, or when will it show up?
Representative Crank, Mr. Chairman, that $200 million from the Legacy Fund, we will not see that for another 2 years. That'll be at the very end of the 17-19 biennium. And it will be at the very, very end of the biennium. Moving on to the next page, with the blue lines, this is the chart showing our May collections on the right side and our biennium to date collections our May collections on the left side, biennium to date on the right side. On the left side, you'll see that sales tax was fairly close, considering what we've seen in the last couple years. It was $2 million off. Fortunately, motor vehicle excise tax was up to $2 million. The biggest surprise, clearly, is the individual income tax collections. And this is a tax type that has been very steady, and it's been very much on forecast throughout the whole biennium. So I think we were all probably surprised to see such a significant variance from the forecast showing that $20 million. I've talked at length with the tax department about what this $20 million represents and why it's there. And we have found that there were about 28,000 fewer filers than had filed the previous year. And then we also found out that of those filers that file their tax returns, the average adjusted gross income went down from $71,000 average per return to $68,500 average per return. So what we're seeing is primarily, this is for calendar 16, so throughout that whole calendar year, that's exactly when there was not much activity going on in Western North Dakota. All those high income jobs left. Those people probably went back to their home states, didn't have to file any tax returns for North Dakota, and so those high wage earners were gone, and the ones that were left made a little bit less money after you take away those high earners. Certainly,
Mr. Chairman,
Pam, we have a question from Representative Delzer.
Mr. Chairman, Pam, you're saying that this built over the last full year and all hit in 1 month when everybody did their returns, when they got their returns done? Is that what you're saying?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Delzer, I think that's part of what I'm saying, yes. The other factor to that is that extensions have been filed too, and there could be money coming in with those extensions when they're due in August. So there are several pieces of the puzzle that we don't know yet.
Okay, the question I have then
really
concerns me is, did we build this same from the higher level into the next forecast? Or did we build that, you know, we wouldn't have had this information, so I suppose that's
right
built into the forecast for the next 2 years.
Just a minute, let me look at one quick thing. I think our forecast is pretty flat for next biennium, if you just hold on 1 second. Okay, from the current biennium, we're showing from this biennium to next biennium, going from a total forecast of $668 million to $698 million. So we're showing a very, very small amount of growth over the next 2 years. Also, I've looked at some data that we get from Moody's that details every one of our economic indicators that we have. It's a great big spreadsheet like this, going back to 2000 and out to 2020. And what is very, very clear on here is that 2016 seems to be the very low point for everything, and then it assumes growth, small growth from there. And that is what we have included in our forecast, a very, very small amount of growth for the next biennium. It's not to say we don't need to look at it again. So I will point out at the bottom of the page on the left-hand side, you will see that we did, this is where the $155 million transfer from the SIF fund comes in here, and then we received the last piece of money from the Bank of North Dakota transfer, so now we have that whole $100 million. That last piece was just the $27 million. If you look at the bottom right side, you will see a negative $621 million. That reflects the fact that in April we were up $12 million, or a little more than $12 million, and now in May we're down $13 million, so we're netted out a negative $621,000, which again just points to the fact that everything rests on what happens in June. Moving to the next page with the yellow lines, I won't go through any detail on here other than to say if you look at the bottom right-hand side, you'll see with just 1 month remaining of the biennium, we have collected $1.7 billion less than we had collected the previous biennium. And of course, the previous biennium, the 13-15 biennium, that was the biennium where everything was booming, just about the whole biennium. But it's the $1.7 billion is really a significant amount of money. If you look at the individual and corp amounts, those are down considerably. Part of the fact that those are down is we actually did have tax rate reductions in there as well. So it's not just economic activity, it's also rate reduction in there. Moving on to the next page, I've been asked to report, and we do this every year, on the Tobacco Settlement Trust Fund. So this page shows a history of all the money that the state has received from the Tobacco Settlement Trust Fund since the beginning in 1999. We'll continue receiving this money through 2025. In April, we received a $20 million payment, which was split 10% to the Community Health Trust Fund, 45% to the Common Schools Trust Fund, and 45% to the Water Development Trust Fund. On the next page, you will see the schedule for the Tobacco Prevention and Control Trust Fund. The amount that you see reflected, $11.4 million that was received in April, that is the last payment that will be received from this portion that went to the Tobacco Prevention and Control Trust Fund. And then now obviously, with the agency going away, that money is sitting in the fund, and then as you all know, most of it has been appropriated to some agencies for next biennium. The next page is a report on federal grants that you have asked us to report on. There are just two agencies that have applied for federal grants. The Attorney General has applied for a grant in the amount of almost $500,000, and the Department of Human Services has applied for a $4 million grant. I don't know the detail on those grants or whether they will receive them. If they do, I expect you'll see it at Emergency Commission. The next page shows fiscal irregularities. The Retirement and Investment Office had some retroactive pay to a couple individuals who had an additional workload due to a co-worker on maternity leave. And then the Health Department and the Veterans Home each had a severance agreement that they paid out within the last year. Finally, the last thing I was asked to report on is the results of the Voluntary Separation Incentive Program. So we've compiled them all on one page. There were 17 agencies that offered the Voluntary Separation Program. 200 individuals from those agencies applied for the Voluntary Separation. 158 of those were accepted. And the total estimated cost of the severance package for those individuals is $2.9 million. But I do want to point out that that $2.9 million is not all general funds. It would be whatever the funding source is for the agency that authorized those severances. So if you go down the list, just so you know how to read it, as an example, the second one, Office of Management and Budget, we had six individuals apply for the program. All six individuals had their applications accepted. The cost of the 3 months for all of those amounted to $132,000. And of those six positions, we plan on filling four of those positions, but at a lower rate of pay. And for two of those positions, we will not fill them at all. And that's how you can read all the other agencies. Obviously, the largest amount of activity for any of the agencies is the Department of Human Services. They had 129 people apply. They accepted 122 at a cost of $1.8 million. And they are right now determining how they are going to deal with those separations. About 72% of the 102 people that they have accepted the applications for actually work in field services, so they're providing direct care. And then the remaining are program people. So they are working through that issue right now of how to determine which individuals they need or which positions they need to fill the position for and which positions they can just let go. So in summary, 17 agencies, 37 positions we know will be filled at a lower rate, 19 positions will not be filled at all, and then DHS is in the middle of making that determination for their large agency. And with a total of over 2,000 FTEs, you can see why it would take the Department of Human Services a while to go through each one of those positions. But that includes all of my information. I'd be happy to answer any more questions.
Representative Delzer.
Mr. Chairman, Pam, just a couple of questions. One is, you mentioned something about tobacco being done in 2025.
I believe so. I believe
I
that's...
I thought that was perpetual.
Pardon?
I thought that was perpetual.
You
we
thought
need
that...
To, we need to check that out and make sure, because we're going to have to start looking at that in the future if it's actually going to stop in 2025.
Mr. Chairman, I do believe it is 2025. It could be off a year one way or another, but we can double check that.
Okay. The other question I have for you is, in OMB you had some money ended up in conference for your Moody's or your consultant, your economist. I had understood that you were thinking of putting out RFP to see if you could find somebody or anything. What's the status on that? When would you be doing that? I know it'd be next after July, but when would you be doing that?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Representative Delzer. So our contract with Moody's May. It expires in November. We are required to go out for an RFP. So a few months before that, we will start working on that RFP with the thought that we will have it wrapped up in November. And it takes a while. We have someone in our procurement office that will be working on putting that together, so that RFP will be out there for anyone to respond to it. I would imagine it will be out there sometime in September, be my guess.
Further questions?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Pam. We'll move to the 145 item from Emergency Commission request. Sheila, welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Sheila Peterson, the Director of the Fiscal Management Division of OMB. Today, there before you is just one request relating to increased authority to spend. In Century Code 37-17.1-27, spending for disasters requires legislative appropriation, emergency commission approval, and budget section approval. This $8.5 million did go through the legislative session and was passed. It has been approved by the Emergency Commission, so this is the third and final stop before the Adjutant General can spend these dollars as disasters are completed, or the work to make repairs and so on are completed, and they get requests for reimbursement. These dollars are then sent out to that local jurisdiction where the costs were actually incurred. OMB certainly does recommend your approval, and I would answer any questions you might have.
Representative Delzer.
Well, Mr. Chairman and committee members, not a question at all, but this was not a unanimous decision by the Emergency Commission. The issue that's before us, if we take history back in, this 8.4 or 8.5 is there for disasters dating back to 2009, 2011, 13. They do not have the actual bills in hand of what they're going to be. The legislature did appropriate the money. It was in the budget. It will go to them. The essence in the Emergency Commission, the argument that some of us had, they should have the bills in hand and come to us before they ask for permission to spend this. This is authority that they want to have, because then they can do it, and we don't ever see when it happens. In the past, we used to get it. They used to always end up borrowing money. They'd come to the emergency commission. They'd borrow money. And then we'd have a deficiency appropriation. When we put the disaster relief fund together, I think that was in 2009, we parked some money there because we needed to have a situation where we could pay back counties and townships for excess snow removal. It seemed to me they had to have 200% over the last 5 years for costs, and we did not have all the information, so we parked it there, did that. Since this is involved into the point where we're giving them authority before they have the bills in hand, I would much prefer myself that they had the bills in hand, came to the emergency commission, said, this is what we've got. The authority's there. We need the budget section approval. We need emergency commission approval to spend this. And then we would know exactly how much it is. That was the issue, frankly, in the future. I think we should go back to the point where they gather this all and come in for a deficiency appropriation so that everybody in the legislature gets a chance to see it. This way, not only does the non-budget section members not get a chance to see it, but we don't even see it. So we don't know, you know, they're estimating all these numbers. They're all estimates. We don't know what they are. I would much prefer they waited until they had the actual numbers. It would, you know, these are 7-8 years past the date they were initially part of the disaster, the declared disaster. They'd have to wait 3 months. We meet quarterly. They'd have to wait 3 months to pay somebody back if the bill came in after the last emergency commission meeting. And I don't think that's too much to ask.
Are there any other questions or discussions, Senator Mather?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pam, could you enlighten us as to the rationale for the request coming before us before the bills are in?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Mather, for example, many of the jurisdictions would not have the dollars to pay the contractors who have completed the work. For example, if you have a township, most of them are not flush with dollars. If there has been a township road, for example, repaired, and they need to wait until budget section meets again for approval, it just could create hardships. Perhaps that little township would have to go borrow money, or the contractor is going to be left without their work paid for a period of time. That's the reason that the Adjutant General did estimate which costs and which projects were going to be done from these various flood declarations, and why it was put in their budget, and these estimates were put into their budget in the first place.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Delzer and I were the two votes against it, and for the reason he cited, and as far as someone not being able to make it 90 days before they get paid or going broke is just not true in the construction world. I think it was important that we keep track of this money and that we get a report and they come ask for when they need it, not when they want to have a lump sum transferred over. That's not why we set up the disaster relief fund. We set it up for all the catastrophes we'd had around the state, and we wanted to make sure that we had some background, some ability to pay back this money that was borrowed from the bank come the end of the biennium. This is not about trust for the Department of Emergency Services. It has nothing to do with it. This is about accounting of how you account for the money. They do a good job. They're very accurate in how they do things, but I think they should come as they need it, not as they just want to have it all there and paid as they feel like.
Mr. Chairman.
Further questions or discussions? Senator Wardner.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members of the budget section, I voted to move it forward. We as a legislature passed a bill that said that that's what we were going to do. We're going back on what we had passed in the legislature. we're having the budget section say, no, we're not going to handle it that way, in my opinion. And I feel that, number one, all these are issues, these disasters, are dealing with the federal government. And the federal government dilly-dallies around a long time. And they've been waiting, as was mentioned, 2009, some of these claims. And the emergency services have done a great job in the past, and you're right, it's not a trust, we trust them, that they'll do the right thing. And if we need to know the numbers exact for each project, all we need to do is ask, and we will get it, and make sure that every member of the legislature gets that. But the emergency services are very efficient in what they do. When they get the money, and when they get the claim, and they know exactly what to do, they get it out quickly and efficiently. And I think that's the way the state of North Dakota should operate. So I'm going to move that we approve this, and I would hope that we can do that. And then in the future, if we need to make some adjustments, fine. But I think we made a commitment to this particular biennium.
We have a motion for approval. Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, I second it, and could I speak to what he said?
We have a motion and a second. We'll have the discussion. Senator Holmberg.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, what some of the previous speakers talked about is what we had done in the past, which is waiting till the bills came in and then the deficiency appropriation. But the last legislature is the body that changed that law. And one could argue, I think persuasively, that what we would do if we turn this down is the budget section would overrule our bosses, which is the entire legislative assembly. That's what they said. Now, we might disagree, and in second thoughts we would say, no, we shouldn't do it. We should go back to the old way. But that should be the legislature that decides that, not a small group of legislators. So that's why I supported the motion in the Emergency Commission and would vote to pass that today.
Representative Nathan, you still have a question?
Thank you. I was touched on by a previous speaker. I just want a clarification. So if we were to approve this $8.5 million, do we get an item, once they pay it, do we get a report back exactly what was paid? Or do we have to request it as was said earlier?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Nathy, I'm sure that the Division of Emergency Services would be happy to provide regular updates on what exactly was paid out of this $8.5 million. They keep track of it. So.
How did they do this in the past? Did they report to the budget section with the exact payments in the past?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nathy, I actually can't remember if that had been requested, that they do it as payments go out or on a quarterly basis. I don't recall. I'm sorry.
Could you find that out for us?
Sure. Right.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Holmberg.
And it also becomes part of the legislative hearing process, because to pay the loan back, they had to come before the Appropriations Committee and the Deficiency Appropriation Bill and provide all that data. And of course, they are audited yearly also.
Representative Delder.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I respect what everybody's had to say here, but in the issue, the legislature also said, and it's in Century Code, that it has to come to the Emergency Commission and the Budget Section to be approved. That's also from the legislature. Now, in the grand scheme of things for right now, does this make a major difference? No, it's a question of whether or not we get it. We did not get a report last time. You know, when it was a loan situation, then they had to come and itemize them all, and it was the actual bills that they had already covered. Even in our deficiency appropriation this time, we had $79,000 or whatever for fire south of Bismarck here that they had borrowed the money through the Emergency Commission and asked for a deficiency appropriation. It's simply a case of, and they do a good job. There's no question about that. The money will be there. But again, I think it should, they should not ask for it. It's easier for the agency, much easier, but it'd be a whole lot better for transparency and knowing what's going on, because this stuff will never come before us unless we ask. And you know, we could ask right now that if they spend any money, they bring it to us or send a letter to everybody in the legislature. We could do that. But that's kind of the issue before us.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair.
Where are we at?
Right here.
Representative Brandenburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The frustrating part about this is that a lot of these debts that are there that are incurred by the counties and the townships came about because the feds came out and people before approved them. Then another group came back later and said they don't approve them. So we don't even know what projects were approved, were not approved, and now we got to make up the difference in that because so much time has passed that isn't even in the realms that they can be approved. And so there are questions here. And I know we had discussion about this in the Appropriations Committee, and but the number of $8 million, you know, was, and we didn't know that what that number was going to be. We knew there'd be some projects that are going to be a problem because they couldn't get them paid, and that's put an impact on the counties and those townships to pay them. But this whole thing is, and probably there's some questions here. Why didn't the feds not, why did they approve them? Then why did they not approve them? And why are we stuck with the bill? And it's all about different people taking over different people on the fed side. So once again, we're picking up the bill for mistakes that the feds made. And this is a mess.
Any other questions or discussion?
Mr. Chairman, would you like Greg Wills from DES to address Representative Brandenburg's request or information?
We could do that. I saw him in the back nodding his head that he could provide reports as well, so let's maybe hear it from him directly if you'd care to, Mr. Wills.
Mr. Chairman, I think that'd be good because he could clarify a lot of this.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Budget Committee, for the record, my name is Greg Wills, Deputy Director of Department of Emergency Services, Homeland Security Director. So to get at Representative Brandenburg's issue, while there have been and will continue to be projects that get backed out of by FEMA, for the past 6 years, the state has not made up those project costs. And in fact, we have exercised a law that's on the book that allows us to demand payment back from those jurisdictions should they fail to follow the various procedures that are required under FEMA law and rule to pay that money back. And if they do not pay that money back, we have the ability to demand of OMB a withhold of all tax payments to those jurisdictions to recoup that funding that was originally paid out by the state and by FEMA, making both the state and FEMA whole again. And that's been ongoing for about the past 6 or 7 years. The process before you today has been implemented since 2011, the biennium 2013, the biennium 2015, and this biennium 2017. These projects are projects that are all from old disasters. We estimate, based on a master list that we have, what work will be completed. And we literally today, I think, have obligations for this next year estimated at $10 million. We're not asking for that much. And as Sheila had represented, it's largely a function of trying to get the money to the local jurisdictions and to the contractors in a timely basis, because FEMA can take up to a number of months to close out that project, and we don't make final payment until that project is closed out. And then if you add another 3 or 4 months onto it, it just becomes problematic from a small contractor perspective or a township or a smaller county. Clearly, the process that we have used in the past to the Bank of North Dakota and Deficiency Appropriation has worked. There are no issues with that process. The only reason that $79,000 was presented this year under the Deficiency Appropriation was because last biennium you had authorized some money out of the DIRF to pay for these continuing projects from years past disasters. So either process works, and I hope that clarifies the questions and presents the facts.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kipnis.
Mr. Chairman and Greg, you mentioned $10 million. What is the tail on you know, because we've had discussions about these get where memory starts fading and what is what was requested and what do we still, you mentioned $10 million. What is the number, total number, or do you have a number that, you know, in total?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Kepnick, Holly, do you have that number with you, what's still outlaid? I don't have it tucked in the back of my mind, but these are numbers we do have. Members of the section, this is Holly Gogler. She's our budget analyst for the agency.
We have 10.5 total left.
Total left.
But we are, like you said, only asking for 8.5.
Right. So I was correct in that we literally have obligations out there of $10.5 million. That cleans up all of these old disasters if that work is in fact completed. And the appropriation that is in our bill that we're asking to be validated today is just a little over $7 million. So we get all this work done, we could be back next legislative session looking for the last $3 million to finish up this work, should it all get done.
Senator Mather.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Wills, of the request of $8.5 million, you evidently have bills of some, and some of that you are anticipating will cost a certain amount of dollars. Of that amount, what is covered by the bills you already have in hand?
Zero, right? Yeah. Mr. Chairman and Senator Mather, yeah, we have zero bills on the desk waiting for payment today, but they come in routinely. We could have one next week, we could have one tomorrow, and it's all a function of when they get the work done and when they do the closeout. So this is what's projected to be done this year.
Representative Delzer, did you have a question? No.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Elke.
Greg, is your agency audited like the other agencies in the state?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Elke, the answer is yes. We have multiple audits every year.
Okay, they're pretty comprehensive?
I believe that they are very comprehensive.
So some of the issues that we've discussed today would be available for information if someone wanted to review those audits?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Elke, absolutely yes. And if this body requires a by-project listing and what the costs were associated with those projects and where they were, the agency would be happy to provide that at any time.
Thanks. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mayfield's next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Greg, so if I understand you right now you have no bills, no invoices on your desk that need to be paid for today. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nathie, that's absolutely correct. But for the next 2 years, we don't know when they'll come in.
Right. But there's been some talk about, well, let's just wait another quarter before we release this money. So really, in effect, you may not even get a bill on some of these projects for another 2-3 months yet, which would get us to the next budget section meeting.
Mr. Chairman.
You just don't know when they're coming in.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Nathie, that is absolutely correct.
Right.
The one thing I would add to that is that we do not draw any of this money unless we physically have a bill in hand.
Right. So again, just so I'm clear, this is for the whole upcoming year?
By any means, sir.
The next 2 years?
Next 2 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Delzer.
Mr. Chairman, Greg, you said something about your appropriations only 7 that you're asking for? I thought it was the 8.5
yeah.
is what...
Yeah. Mr. Chairman and Representative Delzer, I misspoke. It is the 8.5.
All right. Thank you.
Anything else? Any other questions, comments? Thank you, Mr. Wells.
You're welcome.
We do have a motion and a second, and for approval, we'll ask Levi to take the roll, please.
Mr. Representatives Bowe? Boehning?
No.
Brabant? Brandenburg?
No.
Carlson?
No.
Delmore? Delzer?
No.
Hogan? Holman?
No.
Kading? Kempinick? Sorry. Kreit?
No.
Martinson?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Mock? Nathie?
No.
Nelson? Sanford? Schatz?
No.
Schmidt?
No.
Striley?
No.
Vice Chairman Erbley?
Yes.
Senators Bowman? Grabinger? Heckman?
Yes.
Hoag?
Yes.
Holmberg?
Aye.
Kilzer?
Aye.
Klein?
Aye.
Kresbach?
Aye.
Lee?
Aye.
Mathern?
Aye.
Elke?
Aye.
Robinson?
Aye.
Sorvog?
Aye.
Wanzek? And Warner?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the motion failed.
All right, the motion failed. We'll move on to our 2 o'clock item, University Board of School Lands. Unclaimed property. We'll have Susan Dollinger, is that correct?
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead with your report.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the budget section. My name is Susan Dollinger. I am the unclaimed property administrator for the state of North Dakota. I am here today on behalf of the commissioner of university and school lands to provide a list of state agency unclaimed property that may be released from claim eligibility in accordance with North Dakota Century Code 47-30.1. In accordance with this statute, the Unclaimed Property Division completed a certified mailing to state agency owners in June of 2016. The objective of today's appearance is to, number one, report the list of properties held in the names of the agencies that did not complete the claim process, and number two, respectfully request that the budget section complete the last step outlined in the legislation and designate these properties as ineligible for claim by these respective state agencies. In effect, transferring the property permanently to the Common Schools Trust Fund. As you can see, there's a list attached of the total entities involved, the total number of properties involved, which agency claimed their properties, and which ones did not. Is there any questions I could answer?
Any questions? I guess I don't see any. Thank you. Right? Yeah, I've got it. Senator Mather?
I move approval of the transfer.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Who the second? Okay, Representative Carlson, second. Any further discussion? Okay, we will then take the tally by Levi. Thank you, Susan.
Representatives Bow, Boehning, Brabant, Brandenburg, Carlson, Delmore, Delzer, Hogan, Holman, Kading, Kempnick, Kreit, Martinson, Meyer, Mock, Nathy, Nelson, Pollard, Sanford, Schatz, Schmidt, Striley, Vice Chairman Erberle, Bowman, Dever, Gravinger, Senator Heckman, Hoag, Holmberg, Kilzer, Klein, Krebsbach, Lee, Mathern, Elke, Robinson, Sorvag, Wanzik, Warner. Mr. Chairman, motion prevails.
Thank you, Levi. Okay, we'll move on to the 215 item. We'll have a report from the Legacy and Budget Stabilization Fund Advisory Board, Representative Kempnick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Legacy and Budget Stabilization Fund Advisory Board met on Monday. We went over, Ms. Sharp went over kind of what was left in the Budget Stabilization Fund. You can see kind of an update or what the returnings were up until it got cleaned out. We were putting about 1.9% on top of what was being contributed to the state, and that's kind of where that $6.1 million came from. Here was the last basic month. And then, so that's pretty much with the stabilization fund, what's in there. I'm going to go on to the legacy fund. There should be a handout that you had on the legacy fund. It kind of gives a breakout of what we're invested in. We're 30% broad U.S. equities. We're 20% international equities. We're 35% fixed income. We got core real estate of 5% and then diversified real assets of 10%. You can kind of go to, I think it's on page 12, kind of gives a breakout, and then it goes to the back page too. Kind of shows what the returns have been here this last year have been real good. We've been, the only thing we're a little low in is the fixed income bonds, and but the problem is our goals were trying to hit about a 6.3-6.5% return. We've been beating that here actually this year, and actually last year it didn't do so well, but the year before we did real well on it too. But this year it's up quite a bit, and I guess what I wanted to kind of highlight is just our three-year ending, what we're averaging. I know we basically used 2% on a return with the monies to get to the $200 million, and right now with 2 months left of this fiscal year of this biennium left, because this ends in May, or I guess 1 month left. We just got the May deposit here, and that was $37 million. So we got 1 month left, basically June, that isn't accounted in. Well, actually May and June aren't accounted in this, but we're sitting at about 3.65, and that's the earnings defined by the Century Code, the earnings that we've actually had, and I'm going to go over because this will be the end of this fund as far as it was the constitutional. This will be the last of that, and now we start the new process of where the earnings go into as defined by Century Code 21-10-12-12. But what we've, our net returns over the last 5 years that we've had this are, we've earned $660 million in net returns. That's net returns. We've earned 401 as defined by the Century Code. And so what we're looking at here, like if, you know, and this is one of those things that, you know, past results don't equal future returns. But this last year, with, like I said, 2 months left, we've $172 million is what's come in here. So it's, the $200 million is a doable number. We'll probably have more than that. It's just, it's kind of like what Ms. Sharp explained, that these numbers won't show up the next 2 years. We'll know what the first year is basically in October of 18. And then it'll be October of 19, the end of September, first part of October of 19, before we know what the second year of the returns are for what goes into the general fund. So that's kind of the report on it. Like I said, we're going to be looking at roughly $5.1 billion when this gets all. When this ends up for this biennium, and like I said, then we start new. Then the earnings start from zero, and if things go the way it has been, we should be sitting pretty well. So I'll basically answer any questions. It's kind of like I said, you kind of can read through that. We've been beating the benchmarks on all of what we've set here. We've the investments, and I can talk a little bit if there's questions on. We've went to an active management that's costing a little more, but it's about $12 million is what it's costing us on that. We've been paying for that and still having a return over and above what our benchmarks are. So. If there's any questions, I'll answer them.
Any questions for Representative Kempinick?
Okay.
Seeing none, thank you. We'll move on to the job service report. Welcome, Sherry. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Sherry Giesen, and I'm the Executive Director of Job Service. And I'm here today at your request to talk about the update to the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund balance and the targeted modified average high cost multiplier. As of December 31st, 2016, the balance of the trust fund was $68.4 million, with a target of $172.8 million. For the same period, the average high cost multiplier was 0.39 with a target of 1. The multiplier is an actual calculation used to project the length of time the existing fund balance could support benefit payments at a historical high payout rate with absolutely no revenue. For example, if the multiplier is 1, is it expected that the benefits could be paid out for 1 year using only the money already in the fund? And as you can see, we're at 0.39, so we're not at that 1. The last 2 years have stressed the trust fund as commodity prices have declined and employment has been impacted. The unemployment insurance claims did climb to the extreme high levels in 2016 and resulted in benefit payments approaching $200 million in 2016. That's $100 million more than what we saw 2 years prior. Although the trust fund was stressed, it did not break. It remained in a positive status. With 2 years of record balance, record benefit payouts, this is a testament to the statutory defined model that was put in place by your body. The trust fund is financed entirely by quarterly employer unemployment insurance taxes, and it can only be used to pay out the unemployment insurance benefits. As you are aware, North Dakota statute defines those formulas used to calculate both the trust fund and the tax rate. These formulas were purposely put into place to minimize these wide swings in tax rates in order to create a consistent environment for employers of North Dakota. Now, while we've had extremes in the last 2 years have resulted in upward swings in rates, formulas have been historically been very successful in maintaining a strong and stable environment. In fact, in 2016 was the first year since 2003 that the minimum tax rate for employers had increased. The current minimum rate now stands at the level it was in 2003 and 2005. Coming into this first quarter of 2017, Job Service remained concerned about the benefits that we were paying out and the tax income and subsequently the trust fund balance. However, the good news is I think we turned a corner and claims are starting to decline and the tax income was even higher than projected. As a result, the trust fund has risen to approximately $75 million, and while this amount is lower than the 2017 target of $174.5 million, it is expected that the fund will continue to close that gap further to the end of the calendar year. Although it's too early to project the 2018 tax rates for employers, all indications are that the tax rate should not have to be increased during this year. And I use with a heavy caveat that nothing major catastrophe takes the place, but if we continue as we are, we would see even possibly a tax rate for our employers. I do have two attachments. The first one, you can just see the $168.4 million that is in the current trust fund, and then the projected is the second column, or the target is where we need to be, and then the projected is the third column. So as you can see, consistently we're seeing benefits at a consistent, we're projecting consistently over the next few years. Just for your benefit, the last page kind of gives you what we saw in claims and why it was 2016 was a record year of the benefit claims. And as you can take a look, we are, the 2017 is in the black line, and it's going below, even closer to the 2014 claims, which is helping that trust fund. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would entertain any questions.
Are there any questions for Ms. Giesman?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Delzer.
Mr. Chairman, Sherry, most of the claims that are being settled or quit now from the early time when we lost most of the rigs and whatever, did they run out of benefits or did they find jobs, do you know?
Mr. Chairman, okay. Members of the committee, we still run around about 11-week average duration for claims, And I don't know that we break out separately for just the oil impacted ones, but typically you can get up to 26 weeks of benefits. And our average stayed, we crept up, we were probably at 10 and a half, we probably went up closer to 12, and we're back down to that 11 average duration for all of our claimants.
Okay, the other question I'd have, your last page, you show a bump in June a couple times there. What would cause the bump in June? The ones in January, December, January kind of make sense, but the June one just kind of surprised me.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that bump is typically some federal teaching that get laid off in the June months, is my understanding.
Anyone else? I guess that's it. Thank you so much. Well, committee, that completes our agenda for today. Is there any other committee discussion or any requests for agenda items for the next section that you'd want to offer? Representative Kepenick?
Mr. Chairman, follow up on Representative Nathie on a report from the job service. Was that part of that motion, or is that something that we're going to have to request individually?
I believe that was not part of the motion, just need to request it.
Okay. Well, I think it is a good idea that as the bills, as they do pay out of that, that we request a report from DES to see where this, because one thing is it is a little, as the discussion went, it seems like every time we appropriate a set number of dollars, it has a way of being that exact set of dollars, and so it'd be fun to just kind of watch, have reports on as bills come in.
Anyone else have anything to offer? Representative Holmberg, or Senator Holmberg, sorry.
Mr. Chairman, as soon as we adjourn, as you know, the legislative management is going to be meeting. We would set a time certain at 2:45 in the Harvest Room for legislative management.
Okay, 2:45, Harvest Room, legislative.
I've got a Rough Rider Room.
Rough Rider, okay. Rough Rider Room, correction. Anything else for the good of the order? Speak now, forever hold your peace. We are adjourned.